Welcome to the Maintenance Diaries podcast. Here are your hosts, Michael and Fred.
Let's go!
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Maintenance Diaries. Once again, we are on episode
six,
man. It's good to be here. Hope that you guys had a great day, having a great week thus far.
And a great month.
I'm doing good. And a great month, bro.
That's right.
My boy.
Mike, what it do, bro? Welcome back to the gang.
Welcome back, man. Good to be back. Good to be back. Man, we got a special one for you guys today. And you're definitely going to love it. You're definitely going to enjoy it because this is a topic that is widely talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are touching it from our perspective and from the perspective of the industry that we're in. You know what I mean?
That's right. We're going to be diving into the mental and emotional load carried by maintenance techs, cleaners, leasing agents, property managers, and supervisors.
Yeah, we call it invisible work because it's the part that no one sees, you know, and the part that no one sees is the burnout, the delays with tasks not being completed at a timely manner because of a hiccup. You know, it's a lot that goes into running a successful property.
Right.
It's a lot of moving parts. So we're here to dive into the mental and emotional toll that it takes on us as employees.
That's right. So let's talk about what people don't see. Whether we're fixing pipes or dealing with an angry resident, it all takes a toll on us.
Man, it all takes a toll. And to be honest with you, it's not just maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's also leasing agent, as you mentioned earlier, supervisors, property managers, assistant property managers, even cleaners as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes through this.
That's right. And I think like the most important, when I say most important, but the ones that really like take the verbal lashing or take the emotional, honestly, the person that has to really focus on most of their mental health, the most, I think will also be leasing agents for sure. Leasing agents and, you know, property managers and assistant managers, because those are who always in contact with the residents at all times. They speak to them whenever they are disgruntled.
That's true. That's true. And before we continue, because you say the front office get it most of the time, mm-hmm. a lot of the time they will be disgruntled about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main components in the residents' lives,
right,
that they are disgruntled about is when some of them are default.
Mm-hmm.
Default on their rent, right?
Right.
You know, it's not the assistant property manager's fault that you are defaulting your rent, or it's not anyone from the staff for that matter.
It's facts.
You know, that is a responsibility that's on you when you sign that contract. You know, so taking your grievances out with anger on the property staff is not going to do no good
at all.
And honestly, The leasing office, the entire leasing office, would be more prone to help a resident if they are more polite and more cordial, you know. Call and talk to them, be respectful, you know. Yeah. Don't be rude and calling names and bashing and doing, you know what I'm saying, doing the most.
Yeah, because you can always get your point across without having to, you know, call a person out of their name.
Yeah.
Raise your tone with them. You know, we're all adults at the end of the day, so it's always best to just, you know, say what you need to say without being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the leasing agents and property managers and assistant managers, they all have empathy for our residents because
they do.
They understand, like, we can all fall on hard times at any time And there's not a lot that they can do, because at the end of the day, they still have to run the company that's controlling your building, that's running the building. So, you know, they'll do whatever they can to, you know, kind of help with certain things. But a lot of that stuff is usually out of their hands, especially when you do fall behind on certain things. They can sometimes give you, like, you know, take some of the fees away in order to catch you back up and stuff like that. But most of the time, some of that's out of their hands, and they can empathize with you and listen to you, but there's not really much they can do. And people, residents coming in and downing them like that, doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. So we're going to get back into that in a moment, but I want to talk about, like, the constant on-call duties and emergencies, how that takes a toll on the mental health of the maintenance techs and supervisors.
Yeah. Honestly, on-call takes a mental toll on maintenance techs and supervisor, because the supervisor and maintenance technician all take part in the on-call process, right?
Right.
And side note, every supervisor for the property, the apartment property, or the apartment industry, I should say,
right,
supervisor should not be on call at all.
I agree with that. That is, I've been saying that for years. Like, why on earth is the supervisor on call? Like, he already has enough to deal with on his plate as it is.
Yeah.
And then for him to, you know, take a call, it's just disrespectful, in my opinion, because, you know, he's worked his way to that position, just like a property manager does.
Right.
And they don't work weekends.
Yeah.
So they leave that on the either the assistant manager and the leasing agent. But a supervisor should be able to not be able to take calls, because that rule, that kind of a side note, but the rule that one body per 100 units is in today's time right now, it's not fair. It's disrespectful.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I know guys right now that are in that role that are working at a 97 unit building, and it's just them. It's only them.
Being the supervisor, the maintenance technician, and the groundskeeper at the same time.
Just imagine, you know, you're always on call 24/7. Mm-hmm. You can probably take a day off, right? But you can't, you're always on call.
Always on call, man.
And think about, like, what we have to deal with being on call. What are some of the things that hinder us in our daily lives when we're on call? What do we take a step back from whenever we become on call?
I'll answer that question, but before I answer that question, I'll say this. If every supervisor have to participate in being on call, then every property manager should work on weekends.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Make it fair across
the
board.
That's true, because the supervisor is on call and he's working on weekends, because we still got trash to do. We still got the pool to check.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I think it's kind of, like you said, it's a glorified maintenance technician.
That's all it is,
And when you make it to that position, it does kind of take a mental toll on you, because you're like, all right, I've made it this far. I shouldn't be doing certain tasks now. You know, now it's for my techs.
Right. But to answer your question, so the first thing, the first mental stressor, I should say, it would be the anticipation and the suspense, right? And what do I mean by that? Let us just say James, right? Let's say James is on call right now.
Right.
And his on call is going to end on Friday, right? I know I'm next up in line for a call, right?
Yeah.
He can express his frustration to me about his experience being on call for that week or 2 weeks, right?
You're right.
And I'm taking all of that in, and I am anticipating how my 2 weeks or 1 week of on call will be.
Put you on edge.
Right. So now my mind is coming up with worst case scenario. What if? What if? What if? And the thing that I'm anticipating and the scenarios that keeps coming to my mind,
right?
It didn't even happen yet. It's only Monday, but I got to wait until Friday, you know what I'm saying, to take that on call. But because of the stressful experience that he's having, it is now poured over into me. Mm-hmm. It's poured into me. So I have to anticipate and keep my fingers crossed and,
right,
you know, hope and pray that my experience being on call will not be as stressful as his, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is one part of it. The second part is being on call, you have to get up. It could be 10 p.m. It could be 12.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 1 a.m. It could be 2, 3 in the morning. And I've had situations where I was up at 1 o'clock, went out, you know what I'm saying, handled it on call, came back home, got into bed. As soon as I started to sleep, got another phone call. I have to get right back up and go right back out. Right?
They don't talk about those repeaters that the moment you make it back home, it's another one. Man, why didn't this happen whenever I was already out there?
Exactly, exactly. And also during the week, bro, when you're working and doing your job, a lot of the things that the resident call for on the on-call emergency line, it can get handled during that week.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wait until the weekend then to say, let me call somebody out away from their family to come and fix this problem that could have been rectified early on in that week. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So that too can be stressful within itself, bro.
Right.
And some maintenance technicians, they have family, bro. They have kids that they need to take care of. Some of them have newborn babies.
Yeah.
And they're already having a battle with sleep, right? And parent and parental duties. Well, I'll watch the kid from 8 a.m. to 1, mm-hmm. from 8 p.m., sorry, to 1 a.m.
Right.
And then you can take second shift from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. or whatever the case is.
Right.
So in the midst of all of that, you still got to get up, go out there, put on your best self, put the S on your chest, go out there and be all things to the resident.
That is true.
And sometimes the resident can be disgruntled and they can try to be rude and disrespectful. And because for the sake of your job, you cannot respond, you know, in a way that you want to. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you should respond in a unprofessional way, but there's ways that you can do things. But because of the strict policy of the company, you can't say anything. You can say, oh, I'm so sorry, and do what you have to do. And residents can tell you what they want to tell you. And then you have to go back home and take all of that stress that you just got from a resident into your home. And your home is your safe place, right? It's your place of peace in a world of chaos. So now I'm bringing chaos into my home. When I get to the door, I have to pretend that nothing happened. And that is just adding stress and anxiety to me.
Right.
Right. And with that said, residents should not have the right to talk to employees any way they want to.
Yeah.
They should not be disrespectful. They have no right to do that because when you sign your lease in the contract, it didn't state that you can disrespect any employees, right? Yeah. You're not supposed to. But then this is where I think things can be hypocritical, in my view, because residents can say what they want to employees, right?
Right.
They can curse them out and call them everything else except a child of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the employee can't do nothing because they will lose their job.
Yeah.
But if the employee do that to the residents, if the shoe was on the other foot in reverse, then we would lose our job.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that you guys are allowing residents to cast disparagement on us? We have to take that and then go home to our families, and that takes a toll on our overall health, bro.
I think it really has to do with it being their home where they live. So, you know, they feel like that all of that is their personal space.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, we're just bodies working within their personal space.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel like, you know, they can kind of jump off the ledge a little bit and get a little feisty with, you know, the front office staff.
Yeah.
Because they're still at home at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm in my house and you're the leasing agent and you're on my porch. And I can come and talk to you this way because you're on my porch now. And, you know, however I may feel, I feel like I can bring it out on you because I'm still in the confines, quote unquote, of my home.
Right.
So I think that's where that leads. And, it, you know, it also leads to, you know, some sort of like self-entitlement, of course.
It is definitely self-entitlement because, like you mentioned about, you know, residents are already at home. So yeah. Now they feel that because you're in their space, they can talk to you however they want to because they pay rent.
Yeah.
And even though you are in your home and in your space, I am at my place of work. That's right. My job. I can't come to your job and do the same thing to you on your job
right.
that you are doing to me on my job. So when you are doing that to me and I can't say nothing, and now I have all this anger and stress and I want to let it out, but I can't.
Yeah.
You are jeopardizing my job,
mm-hmm.
and you are contributing to the negative effects of our overall health. Because
right.
it's not healthy for me.
No.
And it's not healthy for you, you know? And companies do not pay none of their employees to be bombarded disrespectful way by some residents.
Like if they heard some of the things that, you know, these residents say to,
yeah.
You know, the leasing staff or the property managers and assistants, like they'd be like, you know, taken back. They'd be like, this is absurd. Like there's no way somebody should talk to you in the manner that they just did.
Yeah.
And you know, residents will say things and I don't think one time I've ever heard one come back and apologize to a leasing agent. Like, hey, I'm sorry. I was upset. I took it out on you. I was wrong. None of them has ever came back and said, I'm sorry. And I think that's kind of messed up because if you're going to like, you know, raise your voice at these, at the staff mm-hmm. and you know, you're in the wrong, admit it. You know, come back and, you know, once you cool down, just admit it. And sometimes, like, I'd curse you back out. That's probably why I don't work in the front office because, you know, I'd be the one to just tell it like it is real quick.
The front office is not the front office is not a place for me to be in.
No.
You know, I'm not going to curse somebody out, but I can go from 100 like that.
Like
right?
It's no problem.
So because I know who I am, I know my place in the company, right?
Yeah.
I can aspire to be in the front office and I have the capabilities to be a part of the front office.
We got up the capabilities.
We definitely
for sure.
do. And we have the qualifications
mm-hmm.
that is necessary to be there because now we're on both sides of the aisle. We have knowledge from the back office and the front office now, right?
Right.
But the things that leasing agents, property managers, assistant property managers go through on a daily basis from some residents, not all residents.
Yeah, not all.
But the ones who are rude and disrespectful and disruptive, bro, they don't deserve that.
Right.
The companies do not pay them enough to be bombarded like mm-hmm. that, bro.
So we're from constant on-call duties and emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about high turnover, low expectation. And when I say that, I'm coming from a standpoint of, you know, in the maintenance world, we do have a high turnover rate.
Yeah,
like we are tremendously understaffed, honestly.
Oh, for sure.
And
for
the
sure.
appreciation, like we've been saying from episode one, the mm-hmm. appreciation is it. They make it seem like it's there, but it's not there.
No, it's not.
Just having to deal with that, knowing that, you know, you can be working next to somebody.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, that person can up and go because they don't want to take, you know, the BS that's going on, like the money, not making enough money.
Yeah.
Not getting any stipend on their rent, you know what I'm saying? If they're staying on property,
mm-hmm.
sometimes 20% with companies, sometimes 40% with companies,
right.
maybe 50%.
Right.
And they feel like, you know, they had enough. So dealing with all of that, the high turnover rate and then mm-hmm. the low appreciation, and having that on your plate plus the on call. The other thing too is quotas. I know some expectations they throw on us.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectations of us having to turn apartments. Sometimes like we get stressed from a person wanting to move in right like to tomorrow. And we got a unit that had just moved out and we still need 3 days to turn it.
And we gotta go in there and do it.
They're trying to go in there and get it turned in day two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how many of those you've seen in your career so far?
Unrealistic expectations.
Exactly.
Bro.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man, I've seen quite a few of those, bro. There's one unit that, you know, we haven't aboard all the list of units that we have to walk right for the week. And we would go and start knocking them out, you know, according to the closest moving date, right? Those are the important ones first. Then you have the others that have a later moving date.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'll tackle these 2 days from now because this is not until next week, right?
Right.
But these we have for this week, let me go knock them out.
Mm-hmm.
So you finish all of that stuff. Then you have like 10 work orders to do. And now you're sorting through them. And at least an agent can come and say, hey, this person called and I know they were supposed to move next month on the 20th, but they want to move 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them that they can't, but they're so hesitant. And now we just let them do it.
Yeah. And it's because they need the lease.
And yeah,
they need to get that occupancy up. That's another
thing
that adds on stress, getting occupancy up.
Yeah.
How stressful is that?
So a lot of times, like for me as a maintenance technician, most times you really can't blame the leasing agent because the RPM is getting stressed from corporate, from the higher ups, because RPM they are in corporate too.
They are corporate, yeah.
But their bosses are giving them unrealistic expectations that they have to meet,
mm-hmm.
and even though they know that hey, this might be a uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
They will still try to do what they can to please their boss, right? Knowing that it is sometimes highly impossible. So now they're going to pass their level of stress and anxiety down to the property manager.
Yeah.
The property manager pass it down to the assistant and the leasing agents, and then it comes down to us, right?
Right.
So the stress can come from the top all the way down, right? And then the supervisor, he got the stress passed down from the property manager. Mm-hmm. Now he got to take that stress to the cleaners.
Yeah.
Because now the cleaners are not supposed to clean this unit until next week. But now the person want to move in 2 days from now. So they got to go clean a unit while we are in a unit, turning the unit at the same time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody is just crossing paths.
We've been on top of each other.
Yeah.
And then all of these cleaners, man, like just while they're cleaning, we're doing punch work and just trying to get in and get out. So everybody can be happy at the
end. Yeah, and that is stressful. And I've had my fair share of that, bro.
Oh, yeah. So so that prompts a question I want to ask. Like, what's one thing you've dealt with that no one ever talks about?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. One thing I've dealt with. For me personally, I would say anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I've also dealt with depression too, you know, because this show, this podcast is about being open, being transparent, and being honest, right?
Right.
And we want to have honest conversations. And nobody is not Superman or Superwoman, and you will not always be in your A game. You will have those off days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had many of those, bro. And experiencing depression, anxiety, and dealing with the stress that comes with the job sometimes, added to all of those stress and stuff that you deal with, it can be a conundrum, right? And now you're trying to put pieces of a puzzle together.
Yeah.
And some of the pieces are not from that puzzle. It is from different puzzles.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make everything make sense.
Right.
So while still maintaining your sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you have to still go to residence home with a smile on your face and pretend that everything is okay, but on the inside you are dying. Oh. You are it is chaos, right?
I am with you on that one because I've dealt with that. Like like you're dealing with personal stuff in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 99, but maybe like 90% of all of our issues come with, you know, has been attached to money. So we're not making enough, and there's things that we need to take care of in our personal life that kind of bleeds over into the job. So while we're at work trying to figure those things out, and then, you know, then pulling on more stress of having to take on calls and do all of this and talk with residents and be in their homes and put a smile on their face. Once we're done with that, we're right back out on our phones trying to, like you said, piece those things together.
Yeah.
And, you know, deal with it when we get home.
Right.
But it's like no matter what, they always say, like, you don't bring your problems to work. Mm-hmm. But I call BS on that.
Don't mix home life with work life.
You can't really do that. Like,
that's true.
When you leave home, your problems are here in the back of your head. So it's hard for you to show up at work and not think about it because you still got to deal with it when you get home. And in me personally, like, I try my best to kind of separate the two. But at the end of the day, I'm at work trying to figure some things out, too. You know what I mean? And I probably haven't dealt with, like, you know, depression maybe on your level.
Right.
But I have dealt with depression. I've had, you know, felt days where, like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, I really don't know what I'm doing. Why is everything just falling apart and these things are happening? And, you know, they don't take those into accountability. Like they said, those are the things that people don't talk about. They don't talk about the mental health of what we deal with on a daily basis. And I think that's a great thing that right now in this episode that we can bring all of that to the forefront to let people know, like, hey, we're human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We have lives just like you.
Uh-huh.
You have to go to our jobs is in your home.
Right.
And, you know, we got personal lives outside of this. So
we do.
We still have things that we have to deal with on a daily basis too. So, you know, just show us a little empathy and a little compassion and talk to us properly and we can all get along.
Facts. Facts, bro. Yeah. This is a good episode because it is highlighting, you know, the mental stress at your place of work, right?
Right. And we've all heard that golden word, you know, toughen up, that's part of the job.
And that's what it's going to get to, you know. That's part of the job and you know, well, that's why the company pay you to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that.
Yeah. The company does pay you.
If you, not enough.
Facts. Because, can always say it's not enough, for sure.
Bro, for maintenance techs and leasing agents, it's not enough.
No, it's not.
It's not enough, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because back to a point that you allude to, you said about mixing work life and home life.
Yeah.
The home life and the work life coincide with each other because you were at work trying to figure out some things at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the things you're trying to figure out at home sometimes, not sometimes, but some of it is related to your job because of finances. Your job is only paying you this much.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to try and make a dollar out of 15 cents.
You got to squeeze it.
You're just getting paid.
A nickel out of a dime.
Yeah,
for
you're
sure.
getting paid to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And we are living in a society where we are living to work.
Yeah. Everything is...
There's no proper work-life balance.
It's like the cost of living that we've been seeing so far since the pandemic, everything has just been going higher and higher.
Yeah.
And pay hasn't even went anywhere near that. It hasn't even gone up 1%, honestly, in my opinion, because they're still paying, you know, maintenance techs what they were paying them, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But we need to do something about it. And and there's a lot of employees, maintenance techs and leasing agent and property managers as well. You know, they would, because they are afraid or they might feel ashamed to express their emotions and frustrations, you know what I'm saying? it can cause them to go home and lash out on their significant other, right? Or or lash out on their kids. Mm-hmm. And the people at home don't deserve it, but because you're in an environment at work where it's not conducive to your mental sanity and your overall health, mm-hmm. you cannot bring your home life to work, but it's okay for you to take your work life home.
Right.
The work environment is creating that stress. So mm-hmm. when you take it home to your place of peace, it turns into your place of chaos because there's no peace nowhere.
Right.
There's no work-life balance.
I can contest to that because, mm-hmm. and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Yeah. And we all deal with it. So, like, when I've had a stressful day at work, when I go home, I don't want to talk. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit still and just kind of be in a quiet space and be to myself. And once I get out of that space, then I'm like, okay, now I've calmed down and I've you know, relieved this stress.
Yeah.
And now I can actually talk to my significant other.
Probably That's go crazy. Home. Hey, babe, how are you?
And he's like, yeah. He's just like, you're like, I don't feel like talking later. Right now. And then.
Hey, babe, how was your day?
Yeah. real talk. And it's been like that. Like, not saying like a lot of times, but there are times where you go home and I'm like, hi, how you doing? And I don't want to say anything. Like, everything was okay. I'm going to go over here and sit down. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
I just need to decompress for a while.
Yeah. That's the part I was looking about.
Yeah.
Or thinking about. And also too, Mike, let's talk about some the stigma of speaking up about, you know, mental health on the job.
Yeah, we were just alluding to that, and to expound on it a little bit more, for maintenance technicians, right?
Right.
Maintenance technicians wouldn't speak up as much as the leasing agents.
True.
The leasing agents, they would talk to each other about how they feel mentally, emotionally, physically, right?
Right.
For maintenance technicians, you know, especially the men mm-hmm. and black men.
Yeah.
Because that is a stigma.
Yeah.
And to talk about mental health is like taboo in the black community, right?
Absolutely.
And we were raised to, hey, be strong and big boys don't cry mm-hmm. and men don't cry and you're supposed to be strong and whatever you're going through, just get over it and move on, you know?
Right.
Life goes on. You fight the good fight and all of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That sounds so good. And now you are living two different lives. You're at home. You're trying to be that strong man.
Yeah.
Not to be, you know, not to show any kind of vulnerability or emotions.
Yeah.
But then when you go to work, on your way to work, you cry your eyes out. And when you reach to work, you wipe your eyes and put your glasses on. And, man, what's going on, bro? Bro.
Yeah.
Stop.
That's true.
Stop capitalism.
But honestly, like, you know as men, mm-hmm. honestly, like, we kind of talk to each other in like a coded, I would say it's kind of like a coded language. Yeah. Like, we don't completely say, like, our true emotions, but we kind of allude to certain things where we know, like, okay, yep, my boy going through something, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you just kind of let them talk and kind of mm-hmm. get it off, you know what I'm saying? Without getting into the emotional aspect of it. It's like, for me personally, it's like, I can talk to one of my friends and be like, man, you know, I got this going on, I've got this. And it just mm-hmm. helps to just talk about it so I can get it out. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to my friends and just, man, I'm sad and all of this. No, it's not that. It's just like, bro, this is what I'm dealing with. You know what I'm saying? If you got any words of any advice you can offer, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying? I'm all ears.
That's a good thing. But a lot of men in the apartment industry, once again, because that's the industry we're in.
So I got a job. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to go back there. A lot of them, they would speak in code, but they wouldn't fully express how they feel because they are worried about what the person that they're talking to is going to say about them mm-hmm. or think about them or or however they're going to perceive them when they're not around, they're not present, right? So,
well, yeah, you're right, because we don't really talk to our coworkers like that.
Yeah.
When I say I'm talking to my friends, like, mm-hmm. I'm not talking to my coworkers. I'm never going to, like, I'll let them in on certain things in my life, but they're not letting on a lot of
what's open going the door on all behind.
I'm never opening that door up.
If I'm having a conversation, it's gonna stick to the job.
Yeah, it sticks to the job. It's like,
yeah,
because that's what we're here to do at the end of the day. Like, yeah, you said, we're men, and this is mm-hmm. toughen up. You gotta have thick skin. Mm-hmm. So,
but at the same time, it is okay not to be okay, and everybody should know that is a right they have. You have the right to feel okay. You have the right to feel not okay.
Agreed.
We are human beings, man. You know, so it's okay not to be okay. Because pretending that you're okay all the time is going to only go but so far.
Right.
Whenever the pressure reaches that boiling point and there's nothing you can do about it, then you would do worse damage to yourself than preventing that chaos now, you know?
Yeah, but Mike, but you got to understand too, like, it's hard for us to even express that type of, you mm-hmm. know, emotion of saying like, hey, I'm not okay, because it's like you said, it's that fear of being seen as weak. Like,
fear of criticism
who
too.
Who wants to be weak, bro? Like, I'm not saying like it's a bad thing. Well,
right.
It's not a bad thing to be vulnerable, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you're on your job and you're doing certain things, like who wants to be seen as the person that can't handle what's going on in front of them?
Can't handle stress and
like
pressure.
We strive to be leaders. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the maintenance field, it's all about, you know, solving problems, taking care of issues. And when you feel like you can't solve your own problems in your personal life, it does take a toll on you, because you're like, dang, I know how to fix this AC. I know how to fix this.
Right.
And now I got something going on in my personal life. Yeah. And it's like, I can't fix this at the moment.
The reason why that is, I'm not going to put this on the environment of the job.
Yeah.
Because there's a saying, charity begins at home.
Right.
Everything begins at home before you take it elsewhere. Right.
Right.
So at home, if you were raised in an environment of not showing emotions, you haven't seen your parents showing emotions, and their parents have not seen their parents showing emotions and express their feeling, then that, I call it a curse, bro. That curse can just pass down through generations.
Yeah, it's a generational curse of trauma, basically.
Yeah. So all that trauma that they stored, then some parents wouldn't know how to parent their kid the way they should be parent because of that stored trauma, and now you don't know how to unwrap all of that mm-hmm. and make it make sense and just find some peace within that storm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never had a figure that you look up to show that side of them
mm-hmm.
and all they show is the strong side, now you believe that you always have to be strong, always have to man up, you know?
Yeah.
And it just keep adding more stress. And it just keep passing up from generation to generation. So now it passed down to you, and you're at your place of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are a bottle of chaos, bro. And when you go home, you wouldn't talk to your significant other about it, because I don't want to feel less than a man.
Yeah.
I want to be a man, you know? I want to be, but nah, you're just faking it.
Yeah.
So, because at the end of the day, it can ruin relationships.
Yeah.
Not in the home, but on the job, in every aspect of your life with your friends. Mm-hmm. You know.
It so can what ruin can change though if we normalize, you know, having these conversations,
mm-hmm.
and allowing men to kind of, you know, let it be known when they're not okay. What how would that look now on the job when you can go in and be like, hey, I'm not 100% today. And when we get to that point,
mm-hmm.
how does that change the dynamic of, you know, how everything works in unison to you being healthier on the job?
It starts from the top. It starts from the top because, once again, like I said earlier, we are living in a society where you live to work.
Right.
And they push this narrative of, if you work hard, you will succeed. But yeah. if you work hard and you're underpaid, you will never succeed.
Yeah.
You will always be a blue-collar slave.
That's what it is. That's true.
And also, a lot of companies would have, they would have certain benefits like mental health benefits mm-hmm. and whatnot. They would have all these stuff listed on the website, mm-hmm. but it would be tucked away in a corner. And you don't even know, like, hey, can I take a mental day because I need a break or whatnot?
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
How many mental days should you think an employee should have per month?
Four. The reason why I say four, every employee should have a mental day a week.
But if you're saying four, that's one day a week, mm-hmm. right? But you already have, and this is just me, you know,
playing devil's advocate.
That part. you already have, you know,
the weekends?
2 days off. No, you just got 2 days off. So now if you're saying you're getting 4 days off a month, and that's 1 day off a week. Now you have 3 days off a week. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So these companies are not going to want to give you that a mental health day for once a week, and also allow you to have 2 days off.
So the 2 days off, it would be the weekends, which would be Saturday and Sunday. Some people work 6 days a week. Some work a full seven, right?
Right.
But Saturday and Sunday should not count, because those are the only 2 days that you have to complete all the chores and all the personal things you have to do. Because from Monday to Friday, all of the hours that you really need to get things done,
mm-hmm.
your place of work is taking all of those hours away from you.
Yeah.
So by the time you go home, it's to prepare for the next day.
Yeah.
So you really have no time to sit down and process anything, right?
That's true.
You just got to go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And you think that you're going somewhere, but I'll reference this again, like a reference in another episode. You're in a hamster's wheel,
mm-hmm.
going in a circle, leading to nowhere, right? So every employee should have at least, if not 4 days, make it 2 days a month.
Okay.
Starting.
So it gives them like kind of like a 3 day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like with maintenance techs, when we're not on call, we got weekends off, of course.
Yeah.
And then that gives us a time to take maybe a Monday or a Friday off. So that gives us 3 days.
Yeah.
Leasing agents, they normally don't get those weekends because they have to come in.
They have to come in. Right.
So, you know, those would be mainly through the week, of course. But even with that, even with you getting those mental days,
mm-hmm.
And they're paid, of course.
Right.
What? Even with the mental days that we have now, I think we only get like what, one mental day a year. I'm not really sure because I didn't look into the mm-hmm. blueprint, but I know there is a mental health day that we're allowed to take, right? Why doesn't you know companies encourage their employees to take mental health days? Because even when I hear people from different countries, like people in Europe and stuff. They talk about like we are allowed to take mental health days and get paid for it.
Yeah. I have family that lives in Europe.
Companies encourage
them. And that is true. Yeah, that is true. And once again, it is the capitalist society that we live in, bro.
Of America.
Yeah. The capitalist society that we live in, we are all slaves to our job.
Yeah.
There is no work-life balance. It's just work, 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 work.
It's an illusion, in my opinion.
It is an illusion.
Like a lot of like when you see companies like on their Facebook pages and on their LinkedIns and everything, mm-hmm. everybody's, you know, glamorizing. We got work-life balance, work-life balance. Yeah. Honestly, I don't see it. Like it looks good in the picture and it looks good in a quote, but when you actually are at the job and you're with the leasing staff and you're with the maintenance staff and y'all are actually really like seeing what's going on and how each other is dealing right. with certain stress, mm-hmm. you can really tell there is no work-life balance.
It looks like it behind a in a photo, right behind a camera.
But why fake it?
Yeah, why fake it?
Talk about it and let these companies know, like, hey, you are promoting work-life balance, but honestly, we're not getting work-life balance.
You're promoting it, but you're not enforcing it.
Yeah.
You're not making it mandatory that we do have a work-life balance.
Exactly.
Right? And that is one of the benefits of mm-hmm. the pandemic, right?
Right.
One of the benefits of the pandemic is that a lot of people realize mm-hmm. how stressed they were and what caused all the stress.
Right.
And a lot of them had power in their hands to say, hey, I am not going to come into the office 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not going to take this job.
Yeah.
You know, I want this job instead because this is more beneficial for me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Because anywhere you call your work home, right, it should benefit you not only with the benefits that they give, but it should benefit you with how you perform.
Mm-hmm.
It should benefit you in the mental capacity to be cognitive, right?
Right.
And it should also benefit you when it comes to your peace, because your peace is important, right? So mm-hmm. the pandemic give people a lot of power back in their hands to realize, hey, I know what I'm worth.
Yeah.
And I know the reason why this company XYZ is successful mm-hmm. is because of the value that I bring to this company.
That's right. That's so true.
Now it's our turn to say, hey, this is what we're asking for.
Mm-hmm. And the pandemic did show everyone, like,
it did,
you know,
it did.
It felt good to sit at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
It felt great. Like yeah. people was like, some people was like not liking it because, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't have a job to go to and they yeah. wasn't making the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually showed people like how great it felt to just be in your home, because we're in our jobs more times than we are in our own homes. We sit at our jobs more times than we sit on our own couches.
That is
so
true.
It's like,
that is true.
Everybody that got to stay home, that had the benefit to stay home mm-hmm. to kind of feel that freedom a little bit.
Yeah.
That I'm sure that was a great taste, but
it was.
It came to like us, you know, quote unquote, you know, first responders, basically.
Maintenance techs are first responders.
That
we are super essential.
Yeah, we are we are the essential workers. So
the world can be on fire. Everybody evacuate. Maintenance technicians stay.
We didn't get that luxury. We didn't get the luxury.
Yeah.
People at grocery stores didn't get that luxury.
Yeah.
And nurses didn't get that luxury. It's a lot of people that didn't get that luxury that had to stay and fight through those battles. And I just think like that, you're right. The pandemic did show everyone mm-hmm. exactly where they were stood at.
Yeah.
And how much they were worth towards these companies to help build right. these companies.
Because yeah.
mm-hmm. once these companies started closing and not making money because people had to stay home,
right,
they were panicking.
Bruh, like they were.
Because they didn't have no one to work. And mm-hmm. that lets you know right there, you ain't got nobody to work, you ain't gonna make no money.
You will not exist without your
employer.
Without your employees.
Yeah, yeah. See? That lets you know right there how essential we are in every aspect. So now, Mike, let's get into some real stress stories.
Dun, 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 dun. All right. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about, like, give me a story, like, when you're on call, and you had, like, maybe an on-call or maybe, like, some type of emergency or something that you had to really deal with some real mental stress of the job that was piling on.
So the on-call that I had, which I know a lot of companies, mm-hmm. a lot of properties, I should say, have.
Yeah.
It's always mechanical and it's overlooked, but it's the garage gate.
Man.
Any company that has a parking deck, and you got to get through the garage gate. Sometimes the gate it would work and then it would stop working.
Lord.
And then it would work again.
Just randomly.
Like, yeah, just randomly. Mm. It would start working, stop working. So I was home one night, you know, took a shower, about to go to bed. As soon as I got into bed and lay down, phone ring. You have a maintenance call. Press any key to continue. The resident left the following message.
Well, we hear that in our sleep, don't we?
You be sleeping. You have a maintenance.
What?
Oh, man, that's just in my head.
Oh, man.
No, I knew it was facts. Too good to be true.
God damn.
Man. But, bro, once you hear that, once you hear that, you already know what time it is, right?
Thanks.
And it's time to go out. So the call was the garage gate.
Mm-hmm.
Went, reset the garage gate. It worked, right?
Right.
I stayed out there for like an hour. Went back home. Got into bed like 20 minutes later. Got another call. The same issue. Garage gate. I'm like, come on,
wow.
Son. And this person said, hey, I've been out here for 20 minutes trying to get in the gate so I can park and, you know, go to sleep. But the gate is not working and there's a whole line. I mean, there's a long line out here and we have a lot of people out here, right?
Right.
So now in my mind, I'm thinking now that is another stress that's added to me because I'm like, oh, man, it's a long line out there. So everybody been waiting for 20 minutes or whatever. What if the person in one of the cars have a newborn baby?
Right.
Or what if another person have someone that's not feeling well? Or and you start thinking about all of the scenarios for every person that's in their cars, right?
Right.
I got there, bro, as fast as I could, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, bro, it was just one person, bro.
Damn.
And they were not even at the gate waiting.
They wasn't there at all?
I have no idea.
She basically parked the car and guessed and then just went on up.
I was like, what? Anyways, I still went, man. You know what I'm saying? I let the gate up and I shut the power off to the gate, right?
Yeah.
So it can stay open until the following day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was about 2 a.m. So a couple hours, the office opens at 9, right? And we are there at 8.
Right.
So I had 6 hours to sleep to come back to take care of it. By the time I get home, you know what I'm saying, the time that I would get to my REM sleep, I should say, I can't sleep anymore because now I'm awake.
Yeah,
I have to lay down there and try and fall asleep.
Yeah.
After going through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still got to wake up the next day. It's in the AM.
Early morning, yeah.
Got to wake up a few hours later to go to work and perform at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't complain about how I feel because, hey, you have a job to do and that is part of your job description. You're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
We don't care how you feel. That's what the company expects of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you accept the offer, it's in the contract.
Right.
These kind of things, right? So now you're going corporate on me, having all that corporate lingo. You can't get a donut.
Hey, for real, don't hit me with that corporate lingo.
So now you're hitting me with a corporate lingo.
Uh-huh.
Right? You clearly take all of my frustrations and threw it in the trash can.
Yeah.
Because you don't care about that side of me. The only part that you care about is the work that I can produce.
That's facts.
And that is with a lot of companies throughout the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for other countries because I don't live there. I live here.
Right.
And especially in the apartment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how a lot of stress is, you know, has been produced too.
Yeah.
Because there is no empathy at work.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I can, I've dealt with, you know, giving 110% to, you know, previous companies that I work for. And I mean, like, whether it's on call, whether it's, you know, me just staying late. Cause like, I work for companies where we had to do a lot of stuff in house. So,
yeah,
we would have to punch units, paint units, clean units. And when I've had too much stuff to throw on the cleaner's plate, I would get in there myself, bro.
And do
and
it.
And clean units. I mean, I've seen a unit from a move out to me getting in there, trashing it out, to me getting in there painting it, to me getting in there the next morning and cleaning it. And I mean, clean. Like, when we got into the episode about how the cleaners clean,
yeah,
like, I understand how the cleaners clean and I understand what they look for,
yeah,
because I've had to do it.
Yeah.
And for me to be doing all of that, and I was been on a more than one type of basis type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to do that and work for a company that didn't value that, like, bro, that leads to real burnout. And
yeah,
I've been there dealing with that type of stress, dealing with burnout. But the thing is also too, I did that because the company that I was working for, we had free rent. So me, I felt like it was my obligation, since I was there with free rent, that I was obligated to handle a lot more things in the in-house. So I feel like that stress that, you know, they throw on you, well, you kind of throw it on yourself also, because now mm-hmm. you want to step up and be at this higher level, and you want to, like, you know, perform at a higher level.
Right.
And it's like it goes unnoticed.
Yeah.
And I think they look at it like, well, since I'm giving you free rent, then, you know, this is justified.
The rent is free, but we can make you work for it.
We gonna make you work for it. Yeah. So I've dealt with a lot of burnout, and I've been in situations like that. And like with you with the on call, I've had the same thing where
mm-hmm.
I get out there, it's working, it's not working, I fix it. Like, even with the AC. So you know how we have to, when the shutoff valve gets full of water.
Right.
And you go out and you do the call, clear it out, go back home. Same call comes through 30 minutes later when you finally laid back down to get some rest. My AC's not working again.
I had that last week, bro.
Bro. Talking about stress and then having to show up the same day, that the next, well, not next morning, the same morning,
mm-hmm.
and be like, man, I was just out here 2 hours ago. That's the type of stress we deal with.
Yeah.
And people don't know that takes a toll on our mental health.
It takes a toll, bro.
On our bodies, our minds, everything.
A lot of the stress for maintenance techs and supervisor mm-hmm. happens during on call,
yeah,
most of the times. A lot of the stress from the leasing agents and the property managers and assistant property managers
mm-hmm.
comes from disgruntled residents.
Yeah.
So both of us are handed a lot of stress, but it just comes from two different places.
That is true.
It's come from two different places.
That is true.
Uh-huh.
So we've discussed, like, these things. So let me ask you, Mike, how did you make it through, or even did you, when you faced, like, a challenge of having burnout, feeling mm-hmm. unappreciated, working, you know, you're behind off,
mm-hmm.
and you've gotten to that level of burnout, like, how did you overcome it? Or were you able to even overcome it? Or you just, like, you know, you threw in the towel?
Man, I almost threw in the towel, because this is my personality. If I'm at a place of work and I feel like it is not benefiting me the way I want to,
mm-hmm.
especially when I'm giving it 120%,
yeah,
I am quick to get in my car and leave without giving notice. I'll just leave and go find something else that would make me happy,
mm-hmm.
right? But now I'm married.
Yeah.
So I have to think about me. I have to think about the wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her problem now is mine,
yeah,
and mine is hers.
Absolutely.
Two different personalities under one roof. Now you're doing checks and balances together.
Yep.
And I can't live the nomad lifestyle that I used to live before. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
you
bro.
You can get up and move.
I can't get up and move.
Go at any time you wanted to.
Yeah, I got to think about all of that stuff before I even... If I can make a move, because now every move that I'm making, it has to be calculated.
Right.
Right? So how I get out of that is due to the wife that I have, bro.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't have, this is true, a lot of us don't have spouses that are supportive, mm-hmm. that are really supportive, right? Because everybody has to deal with their own stress. They don't have time
right.
to pour into you and try to solve your problem.
Right.
But my biggest supporter is my wife, bro. Mm. My biggest supporter. She's the one that got me through the hard times, bro.
Shout out to the missus.
Yeah, shout out to her.
Shout out to the missus.
Facts, bro. Like, mm-hmm. and we've been there for each other. And because I have someone that I can come home and talk to when I'm not feeling my best, and because she has someone that she can come home and talk to mm-hmm. when she's not feeling her best, we find ways how we can balance out each other, you know, what we can do to make each other's lives a little lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, whenever the job or something that happened on the job make us feel burnt out or make us feel like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I need to do something else. You know, I need to just call it quits.
Yeah.
Move on to something else. You know, she has been my anchor to tell me, hey, keep going. This is not the end all be all.
Right.
This is just a pit stop mm-hmm. on the way to your destination, right?
Right.
On the way to your end goal, you know,
the big
finish. So because of the support that I have gotten from my wife, Chantel. I feel like I can overcome anything.
That's what's up.
And besides that, I'm also a religious person and I pray a lot. So my wife and God, bro, brought me to a lot. If I wasn't married, mm-hmm. I promise you.
Yeah.
Bro, I start a job today and next week. If I feel like it is not conducive to my mental health mm-hmm. and my well-being, I am out.
Right.
But because I have the support from her, she is teaching me how to grow, how to be better, mm-hmm. how to manage my emotions. Because on the road to success, you have to learn how to manage your emotions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Every situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the support that I'm getting from her and other techs like myself mm-hmm. or leasing agents or whatever, the support that we get from our significant other,
we should
get that same support from our jobs.
Absolutely.
Prioritize mental health.
Yeah.
Don't wait for a month to happen. Oh, this is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wait until a month happened then to celebrate something
and bring going something through it to all the year.
Yeah.
You know?
This is Mental Health Awareness Month and the color is purple. I don't get it. You are associating trauma and problems with colors. It makes no sense. That's not a solution. So if I wear purple, that means everything is going to go away. Now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It is. It takes much more than that.
So Mike, it's something that we did not talk about.
Yeah.
This is one thing I want to talk about. And it's important because mm-hmm. this is what adds extra stress onto your life as a maintenance tech because we've seen it happen time to time again. And,
mm-hmm.
and what I'm about to say is this, and we've all dealt with it. I'm sure mm-hmm. all of us dealt with it. Residents calling the office, and I'm just going to flat out say it, lying about you know, breaking something of their personal belongings or leaving lights on when you went in there to do a work ticket.
Bro, we've had that a lot.
Do you know how much like, you know, stress that causes in a maintenance tech's, you know, job when you call the office and you
say, dishonest.
Yeah, being dishonest.
Yeah.
Because one thing we know,
mm-hmm.
whenever we do a work ticket, lights are off, doors are locked. And we don't knock down nothing. We're working in one area that we go to, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I say that because, you know, we're dealing with, we're talking about mental health, and a lot of that does, like, a lot of it does go back to our residents.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be dishonest about certain things. That's all I want to say.
No, that is true. That is true. Like we had a work ticket from, well, two work tickets from two different residents.
Yeah.
Who were very honest. Like, hey, I mistakenly break this thing and I try to fix it.
Yeah.
But I'm having difficulty just, you know, putting it back together.
Mm-hmm.
I read that ticket, bro, and I was like, oh, snap. This is refreshing. And a lot of residents should start doing this, you know?
And not just saying,
yeah,
this broke. Such and such broke. You know, explain if you broke it, it's okay to admit that you broke it. You know what I mean?
You're not going to be reprimanded. Yeah. You're not going
to... We're there to fix issues in your homes. We're there to fix it. Mm-hmm. But also, when we're there to fix it and we leave out, do not be dishonest about us leaving on lights, because we don't do that. Mm-hmm. I've walked in residents' home and lights were already on, and I still turned them out before I went out, because I don't want to get a call to say, hey, you left on the residents' lights, and now they're asking for a concession on their rent because now their power bill is high because you, quote unquote, left on one light.
And now you are paying for a problem that you didn't even create it.
That part.
And now the rest of the staff, it depends on the employees that you have.
Yeah.
They can look at you a certain way, and now you have to walk in pins and needles and eggshell.
Yeah, because it's like, we already got a complaint about you leaving on lights, and now we got a complaint about this, you know, and now your head's on the chopping block.
And now you're being dishonest and trying to defame my character.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you are putting my job on the line.
That part. That's true. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Let's get into our next segment. Let's talk about what support looks like.
Support, support, support.
Support? What does real support look like?
Real support looks like having compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Not only owners having compassion for their employees, but also employees having compassion for each other.
Right.
Respect is one.
Big on respect.
It's the major one, the foundation of it all.
Big on respect.
Respect. Have respect, have compassion, and always be willing to lend a hand when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Because I always say this, everyone that you meet, treat them with respect,
mm-hmm.
because everybody is fighting a battle that you have no knowledge about.
I agree.
And the way you treat that person, who knows? Sometimes in life, bro, life works out this way. It's in some crazy way sometimes, right?
Right.
Later on down the road, you can be going through the same problem at a different location.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time that you're going through that problem, the resident or that person that you treat bad would walk past and wouldn't help you because they remember how you treat them.
That's facts.
People remember how you make them feel.
That is facts.
They remember how you make them feel. So with that said,
mm-hmm.
I encourage all property owners to do right by their employees.
I agree.
Do right.
And by doing right, we mean, like, you know, give us more access to resources.
Yes.
That's a big thing. Like, mm-hmm. We would like to, you know, be able to purchase tools and get tools, because, you know, everything that we pay for is out of our own pockets when it comes to tools. Mm-hmm. It would be nice for you guys to, you know, at least, like, you know, kind of help us save a little bit of money and buy tools. We don't get paid a lot anyway. You know what I mean? So
that's, you have to take that to pay the bills, plus get tools to to perform the job.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff adds to the stress that you're already experiencing.
And I've left tools in residents' homes where I've had a hectic day where I'm getting pulled in 1,000 different directions and I'm doing work tickets, and then I get a call and all of a sudden I got to pack up my tools and leave, and I've left my screwdriver, or, you know, we don't got cheap tools. You know, a 10-in-1 is a Klein tool, and that's that's a good 10-in-1. That's like 20, 30 bucks sometimes.
Easy.
So
easy.
Depending on the, how many you got, a 5-in-1, 10-in-1, or whatever in one. access to having, you know, resources like that is important. You know, also to getting breakfast and lunch is a good thing, you know, but you know what's better than, you know, that compensation?
A paycheck.
A paycheck is much better. Like, the no matter what, like, people say money don't solve everything. My opinion, it does. It solves a lot.
Money is right up there with oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah. You need money. You can't live. We need money to keep a roof over our head, to have clean water, to have clean clothes. Like, it's up there.
Yeah.
So pay us for that. You know what I mean? And if you can compensate a lot more for that, that will take a lot more stress off of our backs. And we can, you know, kind of, you know, get our lives in order the way they need to be. And we can come in and do a better job than what we're doing now. Because when we don't have much to stress about, now we're fully in our jobs and we can perform at a higher rate or at a higher level than we ever could before.
And because they show that they care by extending gratitude.
Yeah.
And empathy towards you.
Right.
Now you will show them in return that you care. So now it will encourage you to do your very best to make sure that the company is successful.
Right.
And you are being successful not only by the work that you've done or the work that you're doing, is because of, once again, how they make you feel.
Right.
You know? They make you feel like, hey, you are a part of this. Mm-hmm. You belong here. We need you here.
Yeah.
It goes both ways. We both need each other.
We need each other.
We do.
And that goes back to like a bunch of, like, you know, talking points that we've already had. Like, through the conversation, we've talked about, you know, encouraging mental health days.
Yeah.
We talked about having a safe space to check in and for burnouts. I know some people, like, you know how you want to have a safe space and you want to have your employees come in and say, you know, to the supervisor, hey, I'm not feeling well today. I'm dealing with a lot. I need to take today off. You know what I'm saying? And I know sometimes, like, it can be abused because some people can use an excuse for everything.
That's true. That is true.
But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, check the temperature of how each person uses that time. You know what I mean? You don't have to get super personal about it, about your problems, because we all, you know, we don't like to let people in that much. But I would encourage people to take more days if they're not feeling up to par, but don't abuse it. You know what I mean?
Well said. Well said. Because we're advocating for all employees, you know, leasing staff and the maintenance team.
Yeah.
And we're advocating for companies are doing a lot, but there's still more to be done.
Right.
Right?
There's a lot to be done.
Yeah, there's a lot more to be done. And we're advocating for that. Mm-hmm. So in return, we on the other side have to be mindful as well and do not abuse the opportunities that have been given to us.
Absolutely. Well said.
Because you can ask for an inch, and the company would give you a mile, but then you would want to take 2 miles.
Yeah. But you know what? That also too, and I know we're kind of like running out of time because we kind of need to cut this short a little bit.
Yeah.
But also too leads to a stigma of, like, if you're calling out and you've got stuff that you need to take care of for one day, and then you taking care of some of those things throughout that day, but then you realize, like, shoot, I need to take another day. You know what I'm saying? And you're kind of afraid to say, I need one more day. Why are we afraid to tell these companies, I need to take 2 days off if we need it?
Once again, because of the capitalist system, right? You're supposed to work. Even though we give you days off, we don't expect you to take all of it. And whatever goes on in your personal life, you can fix that on your time. This is our time.
Yeah.
And you have property managers that would take time off just because they don't feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
You know, and they come back from vacation from, let's say, 2-3 weeks, and the next week they're gone again. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if people in the upper echelon in the company can do that, you know, the ones on the ground who are the frontline workers, the first responders, they should be allowed to take a day. And if what they're doing requires another day,
yeah,
give it to them without reprimanding them for it or without making them feel bad that, oh, it's not okay to take this day because you have to do that on your time.
It's like they conditioned us to feel bad about, you know, calling out 2 days in a row. And this is not even in the maintenance field. Mm-hmm. This is like people in different fields and different occupations.
In a general
where they feel bad about calling out 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And people are so afraid. Some people would cry because they're so afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Because if they ask, their job might be in jeopardy.
And now they're suffering silence on the job.
That is, and suffering in silence can lead to depression, suicide, anxiety.
Uh-huh.
It can lead to a lot of stuff, bro. So companies should really don't wait for a month that somebody classify as mental health month.
That part.
It's supposed to be 24/7, 365.
Yep.
Because when you care enough about your employees' mental health and you are doing everything that you can to make sure that they're always at their best.
Right.
Trust me, you are winning because you are creating permanent employees, long-term employees. Even if they want to leave for a better opportunity, they would reconsider the option because of how you make them feel.
No, that's facts.
Because of how you treat them. They'll be like, you know what? I would go over here and I would get paid, let's say, $200 more than what I'm making now.
Right.
But the grass may not be greener on that side because even though I'm making less here, the way they're treating me, I feel like I am a part of this company and I belong here and this is my identity. So I will do what I can to make sure that this company grows because as it grows, I grow with it.
Right.
That's how employers should make employees feel.
Mike said a lot right there.
That was a lot of preaching.
So, with Mike saying that, I just got to let everybody know we got to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And one question I'm going to leave you guys with today is, what can you do to protect your own peace?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Leave it in the comments and like this episode. If you find this episode insightful, share it with everybody and continue to spread the word. And thank you so much for the support that you guys have given us thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Your support
is
encouragement and motivation for us to keep going.
That's right.
And keep doing this thing, you know, because we are in this together, man. Yep. I can't stress that enough. We're in this together. Yes. So thank you guys.
Thank you
so
guys. Much. And this, like I said before, this doesn't just start with maintenance. This starts with everyone in their perspective fields. If you know, you are the person that the company really relies on, just know nothing stops without you. And that's everybody in the home.
Like he said, without you, nothing moves.
That's right.
So have a good one, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Love, peace.
Rap.
I should probably go back a few years.
Bruh. Like, subscribe, and share, man. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for the support.
Oh, man. Oh, that was good.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.